What a beautiful song to finish our singing on about Jehovah the Great and consecrating our harp, despite the fact that we have none but our voice, the harp that praises God. And what a blessing it is. Our singing is generally kind of like a locomotive getting started at the station. You know, it takes a while to get up some speed and for everybody to literally start singing. And once we get going, it is really very nice, and I almost hate to see it stop because it sounds so good once that locomotive is going down the track like it should. Let's follow a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you in this morning hour being thankful for this time together as a church, as our body of Christ, as we meet week by week in this place. We thank you for your blessings during this past week, and we thank you now for the blessing of being together in this place, safe and sound, though we know that that is not the case everywhere in the world around us. We are thankful for the peace that reigns at these times when we can gather together and lift our hearts and voices in song unto you, when we can gather around your word and read what message you have, Lord, for us today. Be with us now and be with us as we contemplate those verses that you will share with us, and may the Holy Spirit be the guide of each of our hearts, not only me as the preacher, but each one as a listener and doer of your word. This we ask and pray in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. I would like us to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. My Bible has a heading here that says, Exhortation to Practical Living. And I'm going to take it as an exhortation to practical worship, because that is the topic a few weeks ago that I started, if you remember, read out of the fourth chapter of John, where John encounters the Samaritan woman at the well. He asks her for a drink of water, and she's a little puzzled by that because she knows that Jesus is a Jew and not one of her people there. And she says, well, how are you going to draw water? You don't have anything to get it with. And he asks her to do it. And how is he, a Jew, asking a Samaritan woman for water? And he goes on, doesn't answer that question, but says, if you knew who was talking to you and what water he would have to offer, you would never have thirst again. You would never have to draw water from this well. Of course, speaking of the spiritual bounty that the Lord Jesus gives. And to abbreviate the story, Jesus tells her when she indicates that her people worshiped on this mountain, and the Jews say that Jerusalem is the place to worship, and Jesus tells her, and the point was for all of us, that the day will come, and I would say is now, when those who worship the Lord Jesus Christ and those who worship God the Father will not be limited to Jerusalem, but will worship Him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the spirit part is, we can think of it as emotion and in worship Him with enthusiasm and sincerity and our affections, that's so. But in the context of the verses around it, worshiping God in spirit because He is spirit. And worshiping in truth, worshiping according to His word, worshiping Him in a way that He wants to be worshipped. Let's read Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Starting a few weeks ago with what will be a series on worship, and we talked about and shared with you Jesus' comment on worship and where people and how people would worship in the days to come, in the days after he would leave this earth and resurrect to a place beside his Father in heaven at his right hand. We're living in those times that Jesus talked about in his ministry, that we are to worship the Father in spirit and in truth because he is a spirit. How prepared do you feel you come to church on a Sunday morning? How prepared are you for the worship service? My goal this morning, as the Lord has given me the word, is to talk about that preparedness. What do I do? What do you do to prepare ourselves for worship? Sometimes the brothers come forward and they say, to prepare ourselves for worship, we're going to sing this hymn or something to that effect. I remember a time in church when you didn't have to prepare people for service. And I suspect it wasn't because they needed it, which they probably needed it as much as we do. Maybe we need it more because we don't come as prepared as we probably should. And how do you know? What do you do in preparation for meeting here on Sunday morning? for going to your Bible class, for going to Sunday school, or at whatever point you join the worship service, how prepared are you for that? And those are some of the issues that I would like to address today, that we consider what we can do to better prepare ourselves for what is to come in our church service. He tells us here in the word that we read that we are to be kindly affectioned, we are to let love be without dissimulation, it's not to be pretentious, it is to be real, it is to be genuine, we are to distribute to the necessity of the saints, we are to bless those which even persecute us, we are not to curse those who would despitefully use us, and so on and so forth. All of those things tell us how we should live. But how prepared are we? How prepared am I to receive that message from the Lord? He wants us to worship Him and to respond to Him in ways that make those requests that we just read true and real in our lives, genuine in our relationships with one another. When does your preparation for worship start? Does it start when you walk in the door 10 minutes late, for example? Are you ready to go, to jump into church and to be ready for that? When should that preparation start for arriving on time? In other words, when the service starts, we're all ready to start the service and praise the Lord. Well, I would say leaving home late is not the actual time one should be starting. Obviously, it should be earlier. But a person's being late is not because they leave home late. We are late because we haven't prepared ourselves for what is to come. And that preparation does not start Sunday morning. That preparation starts on Saturday. That preparation may even start on Friday because of the things we need to do and plan for and take care of and see that they happen prior to getting in the car and leaving for church. What kinds of things need to be done? Well, for one thing, we can, on Saturday night, get to bed at a decent hour. Now, I know for some of us, and having worked for many years, you know, Saturday and, you know, Friday night and so on, those were times when you could spend with your family, or you could go out, or you could do any number of things, and you could kind of burn the midnight candle. But the problem is, you pay for it, I pay for it, on Sunday morning. Because then it becomes a chore to haul myself out of bed or to see that my spouse, and it works just the opposite in our family. Carol's always up before I am on Sunday morning. So I'm preaching to myself here as much as to anything else and anybody else. That we make sure we allow enough time to get the rest we need and to see that the children or our spouse or whatever situations we have to deal with, that those things are prepared the day before. So that may mean getting clothes ready for the children early. It may mean the shoes get polished on Friday night or Saturday sometime, as opposed to thinking about it when you're putting them on Sunday morning later than usual because we've slept in. Or we've somehow tried to enjoy ourselves on Saturday night, or what have you, but didn't plan or prepare ourselves for what we would encounter Sunday morning. And I know children have their way. Things don't always go according to plan. They like to sleep too. They like to stay up late. They like to watch this. They like to do that. They go here. They're with friends and so on and so forth. And they play various sports and so on and so forth. Fine. But Are we then making similar kinds of preparations for what is to take place starting at 10 o'clock here on Sunday morning? Or I'll even move it back an hour and say 9 o'clock for prayer time. In this congregation, we have less than 3% of the people, members of the church, who attend this time of prayer, which is about maybe 20, 25 minutes. We would finish before 9:30. And there are many of us who don't have the responsibility for children. All we've got to do is get ourselves here. Or us are the husband and the wife. That's it. It's that simple. But I know it's more complicated than that because of the lack of preparation for the things that need to be done such that we can make it. It's amazing to me that over all of the years I've worked, I could always get to work on time or very close to being on time, depending on weather and traffic and a few things like that. And that was, for me, for most of the time, it was at 8:30. I needed to be work, and I had a 45-minute drive. Yet, 10 o'clock on Sunday morning was a chore. And it still is, I know. Because I know many of you can be at work early in the morning, and yet Sunday morning, it's very different. And being here at 10 o'clock is a challenge, and it's a chore. What kind of worshiper would you call yourself? What kind of worshiper do I call myself? Are we the kind of worshipers that Jesus encouraged to be, that the Apostle Paul wanted to bring about among the Roman people to whom he was writing, many of whom were Jewish, but probably more of them were Gentiles and didn't have the Jewish background for attending services and various things of that sort. They went to services, I'll call them, of the other gods that were worshipped, that they worshipped or believed in because Caesar was considered a god. But what kind of preparation does one engage in before arriving? And what is my attitude when I come? Is my attitude, well, it's another Sunday, more of the same. I don't know who's preaching, but that'll take care of itself. I'm not sure who's going to be leading this and that. I know who the Bible class teacher will be and so forth. But what is my attitude? Do I come every Sunday in a spirit such that I am ready and willing to worship from my heart? Don't be slothful in business, the Apostle Paul said. I'd also say don't be slothful in worship. We all need to take seriously those things that we decide to do as a congregation. And everybody's contribution and participation in that is important. You say, well, if I don't make it, whatever, I'm the one who loses out. And that's true. You do. But the rest of us also lose out because we don't have your presence, your contribution, your being a part of the family of God and providing a blessing to the rest of us. We read here, there are many members in one body, and all have not the same office. In another place in Scripture, the Apostle talks about, well, not everybody can be the eye of the body, but you need the eye, but it can't do much if it doesn't have feet to go places or hands to do things. We need everybody to make it work as the body of Christ in this congregation, as in any congregation. And the encouragement that the Apostle Paul gives for those who have exhortation or ministry or gifts, whatever the gift is that God has given, and everybody has some gift that is valuable and important in the functioning of the church. As we worship together, as we raise our voices in song, and once we kind of get things together, it goes good, it's very nice. But the start is oftentimes pretty shaky, with fewer people until, you know, everybody comes in and decides to join us, that's what we should do. Well, I would say that not only should we do that, we should joyously join in the service and being prepared for what God has in store for us. Every Sunday should be a fresh opportunity to engage with God's people in that relationship that we have with one another. What a blessing it is to be able to separate ourselves from the rest of the world and from work and all of those other kind of responsibilities that all of us have, and to be able to worship the Lord in truth, in sincerity, to worship Him in spirit. And that worshiping doesn't just start at 10 o'clock. It doesn't just end at noon. But it starts actually before the service, and that fellowship goes on after the service. You can be a blessing, not necessarily during the service, because what can you do at the moment? You can pray, sure. You can listen, and so forth. But after and before, you can engage, and I can engage in fellowship with one another and be a blessing to somebody in a way that we may not have anticipated, or in a way that somebody needs that you or I don't even know about, but it becomes that as we involve and talk with one another and encourage and support and edify one another. That doesn't take place during the formal service. It takes place before. It takes place after. But the service itself, what should that be about? It should be about praising God. It should be about exalting His holy name and thanking Him for the many blessings that He has given us, and that we have a privilege to experience one with another. Worship is a communal event. Worship is something that involves us. It is something that we can't do on our own. Now, let me explain that. Yes, we can worship as we read our scripture on our own. We can even sing songs on our own. Do you ever read the scripture out loud to yourself? You should. I think there's a blessing in that. It's one thing to intellectually, you know, read and so on, and you understand that. But when you say the words, you're adding another dimension. And if you sing some song, you're adding still another dimension that goes beyond thinking about it, that goes beyond speaking about it, because one is singing it. And when you put that all together, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It's an old psychological principle that's been known for a long time, that when you put people together, there is something that develops that goes beyond what each individual, himself or herself, contributes to the situation. And that's where we have a wonderful opportunity to praise God with those various talents. Singing, for example, where we can do it in four-part harmony, or we can add some other parts. We can sing hymns, and we've got, what, 1,000 or 1,200 different songs and hymns from three books that we can use to praise God. There's got to be something in there for everybody to praise and honor the Lord. Do I like every song that we sing? No. There are some I would rather not sing. But I should sing them anyhow. I should enjoy the fact that God is praised by being mentioned, by being exalted, by being paid attention to. So our worship is not just something that I benefit from, but you benefit from my worshiping, and I benefit from your worshiping also. So it's more than just between me and God. It's between God and us in this congregation together. It's an outflow of our relationship with the Father, with the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three being praised. And when we approach it with the right attitude and the right spirit and come from our heart with sincerity, I believe that that is something that is accepted by God and pleasing to God, that he is being worshiped in a way that is not only awesome to us and uplifts our spirits and encourages us with one another, but it's something that he respects and appreciates because that is what he wants. True worshipers want to exalt God together. We receive God's word together. How many times in your life are there 100 people all looking at the same words in the scripture, listening to the same words being read, other than at church for about 5 minutes it takes or whatever to read the scriptures? That only happens here and for a very brief period of time. I know in the early church, in the second chapter of Acts, where they met daily. Now think of doing that, meeting daily. How would you like to be here every day at 10 o'clock? That would be tough for all of us, believe me. It would be hard. There are churches that are open and have a service for those people who can make it. Typically those would be retired people. People without responsibility for working and so on. But that is actually pretty rare. So what are some things here? I'll finish up with about a half a dozen things that we can do to better prepare ourselves and support our readiness for worship when we come together. First of all, showing up on time. I think I've harped on that enough. God can work with us before the service. God can work through us after the service, as well as during the service. Now, we all usually think about the service just this time, and the time after doesn't count, and the time before doesn't count. But it does count, and it does make a difference, and it is important. Have you ever been to a church before that when the service is over, pew, people head right out the door? I mean, quickly leave. Don't say hi to anybody. Don't look at anybody else. Just leave. It's a strange kind of feeling because we don't have that among our churches. We spend a lot of extra time together. And we should, because that is, the Lord is still working through the church even during those times. That is a blessing, and I'm appreciative of that. And nobody should be in a hurry to leave for, well, unless there's some other type of commitment that's kind of unavoidable, and that's obviously to be expected and the exception, but otherwise, we should feel free to stay and to talk and to share one with another. So in addition to the time factor and showing up and so on, praying. What is your prayer? What do you want to receive out of the service? Do you ask the Lord to give you something that you can also share with somebody else? If you don't receive anything, what do you have to give? We should all come with a spirit of willingness to receive what God has for us today, in this hour, or the next hour, whatever it might be, and come ready and expecting. It's not business as usual. It's not just another Sunday. It's another opportunity to do a better job of worshiping and praising the Lord than we've done the week before, and the week before that, and the week before that. Is every Sunday a new Sunday? Yes, it actually is. Is there a freshness to anything that goes on in church? And you might say, no. You might say, it's predictable. And I would agree that some things are fairly predictable because we have an order, like virtually most, I won't say all, but most churches, an order or a liturgy as to what is done when, and that's fairly predictable. And usually that's a plus because people like that organization. They like to know what they can expect. And, you know, with a prayer time or with the time where we sing and so on, different talents, and different needs are expressed. Everything from sickness and health-related issues to praise and thanks and gratitude to God for what He has done and what He has brought about. So I should pray that I will hear and encounter God through the Word that we read, through the Word that is spoken, through the Word that is sung, and through one another. God can speak to me through you. And your contribution in that regard is important. And you may not know that, and you may not have thought about that, but it is. God's people are to edify one another, to support, to encourage, to pray for, to befriend, and to love, ultimately. So, also, this idea is taken even further. When you come to church, are you a spectator? Is it like watching a sporting event on TV or even in person? Is the show up here and not out there? Is this where the action is, up front here and in the stands, so to speak, not really much is happening? And that's not the way it should be. As much should be happening in the pews as is taking place up here. Yes, somebody has to sing or get things started and lead and preach and teach and the various things like that. But all of us need to fulfill our role and recognize that each contribution in your place and with your gifts is important to the success of this church, in this community, in the efforts that we engage in. I'll seek to receive, I will seek to give. And I don't know how that's going to work out every week. You don't either. But we need to be ready and to prepared. Do we see ourselves as helping build up the body of Christ, or are we just here? Are we recognizing ourselves as body members, or are we just thinking of ourselves as individuals doing whatever we want to do during a service or during our time together? Or is it something that God, His message and His love, can benefit others who are here and attempting, we hope, to do the same thing? Do I seek to respond during and after the service? What am I going to do with what I hear? Is it going to be just business as usual? Well, yeah, those are good thoughts and those are good things, but my situation is different, and I continue down the path the way I have been doing things. What do I do? How do I respond during a sermon, during a class? What is my reaction? And I'm not necessarily speaking about talking out or commenting or something of that sort. I'm talking about what's going on in your mind and in my mind. Am I learning something? Am I remembering something that I've forgotten? Am I doing something that is going to personalize what is being shared? What am I reminded of that I can apply to my life here and now? And I think every sermon, every class, every time we come and get together, there should be something that we can take away from it. And I would encourage you to do that. What have I learned? What have I picked up? What can I improve upon that I've kind of taken for granted, or haven't thought about, or didn't ever know what kind of responsibility I would have in our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ? Ask yourself what you can do to anticipate and see things differently. Recognize that your contribution and your response is going to make a world of difference in how you understand what's been sung, or what has been taught, or what has been preached. There have been sermons that I've heard that I felt I didn't get anything out of. And I had other people commenting to me, wasn't that a wonderful sermon? I mean, I kind of didn't really know what to say, but I knew for them it was, you know, it really taught me a lesson when that became very obvious to me on one particular occasion. That was quite some time ago, by the way. That what my attitude was entirely the wrong attitude to have, because I was not receiving any, I didn't think I was receiving anything out of it. And the real teaching to me that Sunday stuck with this comment that a couple of people made to me, that they received something that I obviously didn't. I overlooked. I wasn't ready for. I wasn't prepared. I don't want to say I didn't care. I'm sure I did, but the attitude wasn't right. And the preparation wasn't what it should be. Is there a freshness to the Word, to the songs, the prayers, the Scriptures, the sermons? If not, ask yourself what you can do to anticipate and see things differently. No, you're probably not going to be able to change the preacher, at least until it comes time to vote for preachers or whoever. No, you're probably not going to be able to impact or influence the song leader or the Bible class teacher or you name it. The only thing we can change is ourselves. You can't change the person next to you on the bench, a good friend or a parent or a husband or a wife. But what we can do is change our own attitude and our own way of looking at these matters. That we have some power over. So we need to examine ourselves, reevaluate how we respond. What do I need to do to be a better and a more effective contributor to the body of Christ in this congregation? That my talents, and God has given everyone some gift, at least one, that can be used to benefit our fellow believers and the programs that the church supports. We've got a program that deals with the elementary children in the schools in Norton, and we've also got programs that we support that are halfway across the world in missions. There is always some way to get involved and to be a part of what is going on. May God bless the Word to us this morning. And may I simply say, I don't mean to be critical. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone with this. This is the Word that God has given me for some time to share with you in terms of how we do things, how you and I prepare ourselves for what is to come on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday evening when we get together. May it be as much a blessing to you as it is to me to come and to be a part of this church and to serve in the way that God has given me. And you, I hope that you'll have the same attitude, that in whatever capacity God is using you, you may not even know the capacity and how it may impact somebody in a positive way. We need to be mindful and reminded of these things, that we can honor Him, our Lord, and do what He wants us to do. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.